Welcome back to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. This is our trade deadline special. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz. Already 1 hour gone by like that.
Truly a blink. I cannot believe we're an hour in.
Our thanks to Elliot Friedman, who just joined us, giving us whatever he had left, right?
Yeah. Hey, and he poured his heart out 21 of the last 24 hours, so God, much appreciated.
Right. And it's Jen Rolnick. I have to get that straightened out.
Thank you,
Sammy.
Jen.
Man.
Hey, you changed the jersey anyway.
Yeah, well, I changed the jersey, but we're on national for the whole thing anyway.
We are on national. Well, thanks for clarifying that. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Doug McClain. We could go like a very long time, but you don't get the real gist of it until we've heard from Doug McClain on a Friday.
I look forward to someone weighing in on the Don Sweeney comment about contract talks with Brad Marchand. We just had a gap.
Oh, interesting.
Had a gap.
Okay, let's not waste any time driving this thing right into the ditch. Let's welcome in Doug McClain, former NHL president, GM, and head coach. And hold on, Doug. I got to pay the bills here. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. In many ways, we are gambling with you on the show.
We roll the dice every time you come on.
How are you, man?
Tell Don Sweeney I've had a gap between my teeth my whole life and I've lived with it. You know? I sucked it up and you know, it didn't hurt my TV career. It didn't hurt my hockey career. And he has a gap with his captain. Give me a break. What a joke.
Great anyway. Start.
Is today a day where you really enjoy being retired? I've seen you on a few trade deadline shows myself. You would not make 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. anymore, right? You don't have that in you.
Oh, I started at 8:30 this morning with Stelic. Like, leave me alone, guys. And then I'm on Vancouver. I mean, like, it's ridiculous. But I wouldn't have done this show tonight. But my daughter, Mackenzie, is here, and she wanted to watch me on TV because she hadn't seen me in 5 years. So that's the only reason I'm doing it.
Okay, Doug McClain, former NHL president, GM, and head coach. What do you...
Oh, just a minute. Jeff Rimmer's phoning with me with a trade deadline scoop.
No, tell him it's over.
Grims, the trade deadline's over. I don't need your scoops anymore. I'm on the air. Seriously. I mean... Who does that?
I know. You got Kunin, we heard.
Okay. Which one is on the top of your list in terms of how big or how surprised you are? Where do you want to go? You want to go Leafs, Carolina? You want to go Ottawa, Buffalo?
No, I want to go Dallas. They had the best day of anybody. They got the best player that was available. And I think... Now, it'll be interesting to see if I'm wrong in this, but I think it was the perfect fit with the makeup of their team, with what they have for big forwards that can make plays. They've got an unbelievable mobile blue line to play. Like, let's not kid ourselves. Rantanen played with McKinnon, and at the prime of his career, Landeskog. He needs really good players, and Dallas have really good players, and I think it's a great fit. I think Jimmy Neal hit a home run. I really do. And I, $12.7 million, whatever, $12 million apparently, at 27, 28 years of age, with the talent they have, with the goaltending they have, with the upside of their back end when it's healthy, I think Dallas had a big time day.
Let me ask you something. Because a lot of talk now is, we're finding out what kind of player he is without Nate McKinnon and the lack of success in Carolina. And, you know, one of the things that kind of gave me the thought about where Rantanen's situation can go in Carolina is somebody mentioned to me real early, his heart will never be in it in Carolina. So let me ask you, did you ever have a player that you knew his heart wasn't in, I don't know, Detroit or Columbus and... He just had to go?
The only player I knew that I definitely knew his heart wasn't in it was Nick Kyprios when he got sent down to Baltimore with me in the American Hockey League. You wanted to be in Washington. You had no interest in being with me in Baltimore.
That's right.
So I think you might be. And Todd Marchand didn't really have his heart in Columbus when his quote in the paper was, the owners are putting shackles on us. And Mr. McConnell phoned me and said, get him out of here. Get him out of Columbus. That's, you know, so no, you were really the only guy I experienced.
Do you think, though, it affected him and his performance? And do you expect to see the Colorado Rantanen in Dallas?
I was shocked that he didn't hit it off with Aho. That shocked, that surprised me, that that was not a good combination, because I would have said it would be a really good combination, and it didn't work. The other thing it was you know, I heard Elliot mention about the schedule, you know, and I mean, he didn't get, I mean, I was in the NHL 25 years and I still haven't found Raleigh, you know? I mean, I've been there. I've been to Carolina to play, and I still don't know where Raleigh is, other than now I know because my sister lives there. Like, seriously, Dallas? Have you ever been to Dallas? It's a great town. It's a great hockey town. They've got a great organization. I think it's a great fit. I really do. And I don't think, I mean, Tom Dundon is the chief negotiator in Carolina, apparently. I'm not sure that's great, you know, but as I said to your buddy there on the morning show in NHL, Stelic, I'm not going to criticize the NHL. I'm going to be nice today. I apologize, Mr. Dundon, for your negotiating skills.
I'm sure you've flown into Raleigh a few times to play golf, Doug. It's supposed to be some good places around there.
I've been to Raleigh Airport. I just never have found downtown Raleigh. That's all. Kippy, have you ever found it? It's not easy to find.
I have. Covered a Stanley Cup there.
All right.
The Raleigh fans are going to be all over me. I got so many fans now mad at me. It's unbelievable. So listen, I think it's a great fit. I think it's the trade of the day. But there was some great deals today. There was some great deals.
How did you think Brad Treliving did with Toronto? Gave up a couple of firsts, but ended up with a couple of real players.
You know what? I said I didn't like the Shen deal a couple of weeks ago to you guys, and I wasn't for it. And I like this guy as a third line centerman. He's got bite. He's got competitiveness. And he's going to have McMahon with him. That gives it a nice look on one side. I like their third line all of a sudden. I think it's a good combination. And I don't know the kid, but I talk to scouts that like him because he's got fire. He's got character. He's got playoff mentality. And I think when you're going to play against Tampa and Florida, you need that type of player really bad. So I like him better than Shen. I mean, look, I love Shen. I love what he's done in his career. I think this is a better fit for the Leafs right now. I don't know if he's going to score. He's not great defensively, which bothers me a little bit. You know, he's got to play that. He's got to be better defensively than he's been in the playoffs when you're playing Florida and Tampa. You got to be better defensively than what he's showing. So that's going to be an interesting test. I don't mind the price for him. The fact they're picking up half his salary. I didn't like Carlo last year in the playoffs at all. I think his game has slipped a little, but I think Brad did a real good job. I think he's a real good pickup in the number four hole. I think he's a good pickup.
The shock of the day for me, Kip, Nick Robertson stayed a Leaf. I thought by the start of this year that was inevitably not going to be
the case. I didn't know. I thought he left in training. I thought he held out in training camp and never come back.
Oh, no. No, he's worked hard.
He was nice to Kipper at that event.
That's right.
He's working hard, and he's playing bigger than he really is.
That's right.
That's all that matters here.
That's I couldn't get him in my lines today. That's great. I missed him. So okay. That's great. I think that's really positive.
You're
obviously you guys really like him as a kid, and that's great. I'm happy for you. You know, I'm not sure he's going to be there against Tampa and Florida, but we'll see.
Hopefully we will see.
Yeah.
Marchand.
You guys really want to move this conversation along here, don't you?
Yes, we want to get to the meat and potatoes of Brad Marchand now as a Florida Panther, and where you had this on your scale of 0 to 10 surprise scale.
You know what? I wouldn't say it was as high because you and I talked during the Four Nations and prior to the Four Nations that was going to be Brad's coming out party, or was it going to be the end of Brad in Boston? And I think we had that conversation. I was still shocked and surprised. You get nervous when you as a general manager, you get nervous when you have a player with the miles Brad has on him. He's your captain. He's a loyal guy. He's played for a discount. You know he deserves it. I was surprised. I would have thought they would have got him done on a deal. I really was. And to see him go to Florida just blows my mind. It blows my mind.
And is it disappointing here? You know, I guess we cover the Leafs every single day. There's some people who are surprised it's within the division. You know, is there some thought that he should have gone somewhere to the West?
Edmonton.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know if he would have gone there, but I think and I'm going to say something I probably will regret.
No, you do it every week.
I don't think this bodes well for the Boston Bruins. I really don't. I think sometimes as an organization, you have to make a decision that I'm going to show some loyalty here. And I know Tampa didn't with Stamkos, although Stamkos had an offer and could have signed and could have stayed and could have finished there, which I wish he would have, by the way. But now, I just wish it could have ended better for Sweeney and for Marchand. And I think he should have ended in Boston for what he's brought to the table for the Bruins. I really do. And it bothers me a little bit.
So do you feel like there's enough like sandpaper between the two of them now that even if he tried to maybe revisit in the offseason as a free agent to go back, you think it's too much water under the bridge? Not a chance, eh?
Not a chance for me.
It's too insulting that a captain of an original six team gets pushed off for a second rounder.
I will be shocked if that happens. Mm-hmm. And I hope Brad doesn't do it.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. I think it's justified there being some frustration with how that all
plays. Let's not forget something you guys have no clue about. And I'm going to tell you, you have no clue about the size we have as Maritimers. Don't ever forget that.
About the what you have?
I'm saying we have pride, us Maritimers. He is not going back to Boston. Right. Give me a break.
All right, let's talk Canada. Let's move about Canada a little bit. Ottawa Senators get Dylan Cousins. They move out Josh Norris. The Cousins, you know, people thought he was going to be the Sabres captain. Do you like Ottawa adding him for Norris? They got Zetterlund, too.
I love it. And the kid from San Jose, people tell me, this guy has a chance to be an unbelievable player.
He's 5'11", 220.
People tell me they are shocked at how good this kid is. So I'm anxious, and I didn't know him. But I had two calls from people after me saying, don't forget how good this guy is. Don't forget how good this kid is going to be. Attitude, character. They tell me it's over the top. So they're raving about the move. Cousins is going to be real interesting. First of all, Norris, unfortunately for Norris, he's a hell of a player, Norris.
Talented.
He's a very, 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 very talented player. Injuries have been a problem. And I'm not convinced they didn't want to break up Brady and Norris. I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure that that was – I've watched and I've listened and – they're great friends, and I'm not sure it was time for a separation there.
They do that with my son and his best friend. Grade 3, Doug.
Have you heard that, Nick?
I have heard conflicting reports there about the dressing room sometimes.
Remember the Jays dugout? They're like, these guys, too chummy. Like, for some reason, teams don't like that?
I don't know. I just think that, you know, sometimes you have to move somebody out for somebody to take a big step.
Well,
I'm not saying negative. No. I'm saying, you know, a big step and take charge.
I give Ottawa some credit here because they didn't necessarily win in the talent department. And we know a lot of teams are like, take the talent before anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But they... Mm-hmm. Cousins gives them a different look and a different feel.
And he'll be better on a better team. He's better surrounded there.
I've been a little tough on Stamkos with his offseason acquisitions, the Perrons and some of these guys. I really like his work today. I think Steve Stamkos had a good day today. And I think Cousins desperately needed a change. And like people were telling me today, there's no way Chicago should have taken Kirby Dach ahead of him in that draft. It wasn't even close. And even Byram, I think it was, that there was conversation that this guy was that good. So we'll see. But I think it was a good move for Ottawa. I really do. And I think Ottawa's really excited about it. And that's not a knock on Norris. I coached Norris's father in midget with the Team Atlantic under 17 team. Dwayne Norris was on my team, a Newfoundlander, and went on to play at Michigan State.
Is Norris an East Coaster?
His father was a Newfie who played for me with Team Atlantic in 1987. So his father was a hell of a player, Dwayne Norris. Never
Fast.
Played in the NHL.
Fast. I
but
played
a
against
hell
him.
Of a player.
I did play against him. Yeah. So, yeah. Mac, if we push...
Just a little history for you, boys. I'm always trying to educate you. You know?
Thank you. So appreciated. If we push out west, Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Vancouver, fairly quiet today.
Yeah, and the Vancouver quiet, it's a big deal.
Vancouver, I did radio out there. I really made it. Vancouver's sort of lost in the woods. Like, what is going on, guys? I mean...
Ask Jimmy Rutherford.
This is a team, guys. I said this about Nashville on your show in the fall, that Nashville lost their identity. This time last year, one of the toughest teams to play against in the NHL was the Vancouver Canucks. You remember how tough they were to play against last year? And they've lost their identity. They're not a hard team to play against. What has gone wrong there? And it's not just Miller and Pettersson. I mean, seriously, I'm just blown away by it. This was a good hockey team. If I'm not mistaken, I'd probably pick Vancouver to win the West this year. Mm-hmm. Check your files, check your stats. I loved that team last year before game 7 against Edmonton. They were real good and tough to play against. And now, Hedl for Miller? I mean, is that his name, Hedl?
Hedl.
Hedl for Miller? Oh, my God. That's the opposite of what Miller was, the opposite player.
Yeah, they're mad at Alvin for saying that the offers for Besser were so bad, if you had heard them, you would run away. People are saying that kind of devalues your own player a little bit there.
Well, I mean, I
wouldn't
like
even have gone there.
Well,
I
why
happen
would you?
To like Besser. No, you don't go there. It must have been miscommunication or something. It must have been a mistake, you know.
Maybe.
But look, Besser, you love Besser as a coach. You know why? Because he scores goals, and he scores big goals.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure L.A. or somebody would have taken him today. But, I mean, I guess 8x5 is skating bothers me. His skating is a touch off, and it could fall off. But, I mean, this team, well, they've got to figure this out. What is going on there?
Mac, it pains me to give you full credit, but when the Buffalo Sabres moved Casey Mittelstadt to Colorado, you told me that would never work.
Hmm.
Now he's moved to Boston. I can't think of a player that suits less the Boston Bruins than Mittelstadt, but Charlie Coyle now a Colorado Avalanche. What do you think of that trade?
Well, I think I've got to give C-Mac, Chris McFarlane, who was with me for 11 years in Columbus, I got to give him credit. He moved off Mittelstadt. He knew it was not a good fit once he got him. And he bided his time till he could move him out. And he brings in Brock Nelson, who everybody likes as a player, like a two-way guy, a solid, a playoff-type guy. And then he brings in Charlie Coyle. I thought C-Mac had a good day today. I really did. And, you know, they're a good team right now. They're you know, them and Dallas and Edmonton and these teams in the West, it's going to be ugly in the playoffs. And the East, I mean, it's like the Leafs. You applaud the Leafs for what they did, but they got to play Tampa now and Florida. And don't think Columbus will be a walk in the park. And don't think Ottawa will be a walk in the park in the first round if they make it. So, you know what? It's going to be, it's the same as we say every year. The first round is going to be the best hockey you could ever imagine. And some good teams are going to go home early.
I know we have to get out in about 4 minutes, but Doug, did Edmonton do enough?
Did Sammy tell you to start my farewell before 4 minutes?
We got to this one. Hey, let's keep. Yeah,
you're on the clock for a 4 minute farewell now, by the way.
But I know it's you, so 4 minutes lead time.
4 minutes and 50 seconds.
Do you like Frederick and Wallman and Jones, if you like, for the Oilers?
Stan didn't have a good day for me. You know, I mean, this is a team that went to the finals. Wallman, he's got some great offensive skills and he's not great defensively. Does that sound like a great fit for Edmonton Oilers? Weak defensively? That scares me. I mean, you know, Nurse really doesn't want to play defense. Boucher really doesn't want to play defense. I was
Play
disappointed.
The whole game.
They got Ekholm, they got Nurse, they got to figure out who's going to be their shutdown pair and figure this out. But you know, you never underestimate McDavid, Draisaitl. They're going to be tough. They'll be good. But I thought Stan missed the day.
All right, I mentioned Winnipeg. We got to at least give them some love
Jets
here.
Jets talk.
We got to get our Jets talk. Brandon Tanev going there. Good energy guy. They didn't get their centerman, but still the favorites here.
Look, Chevy is one of the quality guys in the game. 14 years as GM there. He's one of the good people in the game. He's a bright guy. He paid his dues. He learned from one of your greatest idols, Butch Goring in the International Hockey League. I think he was with Butch. Was he with Butch? Yeah, he was with Butch. Where was it? In Utah, maybe?
And my dad, too. My dad coached with those guys.
That's right. So he learned from a good group. I think I like their team. I wish they would have been able to get the second-line center. Namishnikov has been a good fit, but I think he's better in this three-hole. So, you know, I liked the Tanev. He'll drive people crazy. He's a great penalty killer. He's an energy guy. Shen is they needed another defenseman. I like their team. I wouldn't want to play them in the first round, especially if Hellebuck finally takes the step. That's 3 minutes, okay? That's 3 minutes right there.
Okay, good. We got 80 seconds.
You want to squeeze anything else out because we're dumping you for baseball?
We gotta go.
You're done.
You know what? It just was such a treat for you. You know, you have Elliot Friedman on, one of the icons in Canadian broadcasting, and I get to follow him. I feel really good about the opportunity.
He's
I feel really good about
for
the
you,
opportunity.
Doug.
And you guys have rejuvenated my career, and I really appreciate it.
Well, for many of our followers now, Vladdy gets to follow you, right?
Who's Vladdy?
A Blue Jay baseball player.
Yeah, and also we have Brad Tree living, do we not?
We do.
We got Brad Tree living.
Coming up.
But we got to go to break now because many of our viewers are going to go to a baseball, right? The Jays and the Yankees.
Guys, hey, thanks a million for having me on.
No. Really thank you. It. Doug McClain. Former NHL president, always on a Friday. All right, Sammy, we'll take a quick break.
We'll take a quick break.
All right, we're back after these words. It's more Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. Nick Kiprios, Sammy McKee, Justin Bourne. Let's welcome in the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Always nice to get someone that was actually in the trenches on a day like today. Brad Tree Living. Tree, thank you for joining us. I know it's been a long day, and if you got a little bit more juice, we could sure use some right now. But What's it like for you on a day like today? You're a general manager that has a strong reputation for having a lot of lines in the water. Is it you just circling the deck waiting for a nibble? Is that how you describe a day like today?
Well, you know, no matter what you've done prior to deadline day, there's a tempo to it. You know, it's usually an early, tee off, and then you know, for the most part, you've been in discussions. You know, there's stuff that comes up throughout the day, Kipper, that maybe you haven't looked at, or depending on, you know, things that you do, but a lot of the stuff you've had discussions for a while, you've got things framed up, and you know the pace of the day picks up. You know, depending on where you are and where your team is at, you know, it can be busy as a buyer, it can be busy as a seller. It's nerve wracking when you're not necessarily exactly sure what might be going on, but I think the staff does. You know, we were prepared, and the staff did a great job. And it's a busy day, long day, but you know, we think it was a successful one.
So often on these days, Brad, there's a real big fish out there, and I think competitive teams are in it until they're not in it. I'm not sure what you can tell us about being in for one of the biggest names I think available in the day, and then maybe setting an internal deadline of when you're in, and when you're out, you got to move on. And can that describe maybe what your day was like today?
Well, as a policy Kipper, I don't speculate or talk about or comment on speculation, right? There's lots of...
Yeah, I get it.
Lots of,
I tried.
But we had to try, Brad.
Good try. And, but the word I would use on not only today, but as you get into the deadline, is discipline. You know, we were out in Denver, so it was 1 o'clock. You know, I thought the bell rang at 1. So there's mile markers, right? When you're kind of going through, and if you're working a certain file, and listen, you have a pretty good temperature of what teams may be looking for in this year's market. Obviously, we added a center. You have a pretty good feel coming in. It's all the homework you have to do and the work you have to do in preparing for the deadline of what might be available. And then, you know, who may be fishing in what waters, but you have to be disciplined in terms of setting time frames. The managers are pretty good. It's a competitive group. But you're usually fishing in more than one lake. And so it can be, yeah, you're trying to forecast what's out there, what may be happening if you know, there's a feel to it where you think something may be getting close, may not be getting close. You have to pivot. But I think it's important to set mile markers and times where you could be fishing for option A and the bell goes and you haven't been able to check down a little bit. So that's all part of it. And you've got a staff that may be working different files. But you're taking and giving a lot of phone calls and texts and, you know, trying to, and then there's just ebbs and flows. You can go quiet for a little bit of time, but certainly trying to balance the day and balance your time. But, you know, I've been doing it a long time, and that last, we finished the Carlo deal. I looked at my watch and it was 58. So we got under the, we got under the wire by 2 minutes. It's not the closest I've been there, but it's pretty darn close. So it picked up at the end for sure.
Just for our listeners and watchers, if it's 2:58 Eastern time, as long as you got a call into the league, you're fine. Is that it?
Yeah, you call or you register. Really, register your trade with Central Registry. So, you know, Brandon Pridham, his typing skills got tested today to get it cooked up there to get the email in on time. But you got to be under the wire at 3 Eastern before the bell goes off. So, you know, that's a critical part of it. And then, you know, there's they go through the trade calls and they're getting in the queue now for to get everything finalized.
It reminds me of Kip of being in like a silent auction on like a couple of golf apps or something, just making sure no one overbids me at the last second.
But there's not a town that's ready to kill you if you don't get it.
The last minute flyby.
Yeah, no, that's scary. You don't want the last minute flyby. So you ended up with Brandon Carlo, and I don't know what your list of ideal fits for your team would have been. I have to imagine he's fairly high up that list. How do you see your D pairs looking with another big right hand D?
Yeah, Justin, he certainly was a guy that, we know well, and I've watched him a lot. Our group has watched him a lot over the years, and I think he's been, they've had a lot of success in Boston. That's a hell of a team that Donnie's put together there, and year after year, they've been a great team, and he got the sense the last little while Donnie may make a decision here to maybe move some people along. So we had some discussions. I just think he fits really well. He's a big, long guy. He moves well. He's got great range. Those long, sticky guys are hard to play against. And it's not about throwing guys over the boards, but it's just they get in the way, right? They're long, and it's hard to get through. So laterally moves well. Excellent on the PK, hard around the paint, and that was one of the things, we've been trying since we got here just to have some more length in the blue line. And he helps bring that, Chief and I had talked a bunch as we're leading into this, depending on, what may or may not come our way, how things set up. But, getting another righty there was important to me. Jake's played a lot in the right, but you see now with Chris Tanev being out a little bit, just our depth getting tested a little bit, and having another guy who can eat big minutes in the penalty kill. How everything sorts out, that's, Chief and the staff will figure it out. But we've kind of looked at a couple different options. Once Chris gets back, obviously, with, Chris and McCabe, and, is that an opportunity that, I think there's got different options now of whether that's, whether that's Riley and Carlo, and then you've got O and Benoit and Myers there. So I think there's some flexibility. I think everybody does some different things. And, so it's, like I said, the goal was to come in here and make our team better, and, hopefully we feel confident we've done that.
You're listening to Brad Treliving, general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Tree, no secret that this week we saw division rivals in Florida and Tampa Bay get better. And I just wonder what kind of pressure you felt on a day like today to do what you did.
Well, let's be honest, you pay attention to what the neighbors are doing, right? And that's the job. You know what's going on with the league, and that's the job. But you have to have a discipline about you, not just because somebody, there's always lots of media talk and speculation, and that's part of what gets the juices flowing is what may or may not happen. But, when you're actually in the business, you have to have a discipline to you of just trying to make your team better and doing what's right. And it's not just about, somebody made a move and now we got to keep up with the Joneses.
But you do, Brad, you do feel better today going toe-to-toe or shoulder-to-shoulder against a Tampa or a Florida.
Yeah, and those are two great teams, right? The depth of this division, and I think it's the strongest as strong as any division in hockey. You look at those teams, the year after year have been there. Obviously, the Tampas, the Bostons, the Floridas, Stanley Cup champions, the Cups that Tampa's won, Boston year after year, and then those teams that have been building. There used to be sort of a separation there with sort of the four, and then the other you know, than the other four, and those days are gone. Like, they just, those teams have been building for a long time. They're making pushes now. So I think it's competitive every night, but you certainly pay attention to what's going on around you. But ultimately, you know, the job is to find out where there's areas of your team that you can strengthen. And it's my job and our staff's job to, you know, be focused on that. And that's what we try to do here this, you know, today and throughout this week.
Tree, like a lot of your fans, and we do it here on our show, drawing up sort of ideal lineup for you guys heading into playoffs, do you think you'll have access to injured guys like Pacioretty and Hockenpah?
Well, we're hopeful. You know, we're hopeful. You know, it's been a long road for Hack. So he's still working away at it. You know, Patch came back. He played right before the break, and you know, had a tweak. I think it was our first practice back after the break, and just, you know, kind of tried to work through it and took a day here and had some stops and starts. And so, you know, doctors just determined that he needs to get it better. So we're hopeful that he'll be on the mend and you know, that we'll see those guys. But we're not sure. At the end of the day, we're not sure. We'll see how it goes. The addition of Scott today gives us obviously a little more depth, in the middle. And, you know, I think it gives some different options for the coaching staff. I know they've got the marker out today and looking at different combinations. So, you know, what we try to do is give the coaches as many options as they possibly can to ice the best lineup. And, you know, we're not, and I get the question, but, you know, we can't look too far ahead here. You know, our focus is tomorrow night. And I know it sounds cliche-ish, but it is. I mean, that's That's the focus. I mean, we're going to grind here. The schedule lasts a little bit, but you know, we were licking our wounds after the last one in Vegas, and now, you know, you get through the deadline, as you guys know, and Kipper, you've gone through it as a player. It's always a little unsettling time, right? Like, it's exciting for fans, and we're all, you know, you're out there and trying to help your team, but, you know, and it's there's a human side to it for the players too. And there's a lot of stress, and we everybody knows what they signed up for. Nobody's asking for any apologies, but you know, we as much as it's exciting that we've added some people here today, you know, we had some guys that left and some real good people, you know, Connor Timmons, Connor Dewar, and then the young kids, Nikita Gravankin and Fraser Mitt. They're good guys, and you know, their world got turned on its ear today. And I, you know, I'm aware of that. And, you know, that's the other side of this business. You have to do, my job is to do it. I do whatever we possibly can and push as hard as we can to make our team as good as we can make it. But you can also do it in a way that there's a sympathetic, you know, understanding to what those guys are going through, packing up their bags today and getting out of town. So that's the other side of it. But, you know, we're focused on tomorrow night in Colorado, and Chris has done a hell of a job over the last little bit, you know, improving what was already a real good team. So we've got our work cut out for us tomorrow night.
Brad, one more for me, and I promise I'll let you get some rest. I promise. And once again, we saw a very significant potential UFA sign in Dallas. I won't mention his name. But you have one as well in Mitch Marner. Does a day like today give you the confidence that you could revisit him down the road and still get him signed to a new contract?
Well, the good news about that is I can give you the same answer I gave you in training camp, that our focus, you know, today and the rest of the season is going to be on the season. And Mitch has done a real good job of just focusing on the team, on his own play. And he's been terrific. I mean, look at the year Mitch has had. And, you know, he's driven the group on many a nights, especially, you know, there's chunks of the season earlier on when Austin was out, and you know we poof dealt with a lot of injuries, and Mitch has driven the group many nights. So we'll continue to try to do business as quietly and behind the scenes, and try to not make too much noise here in Toronto, and worry about the games, and when it's time to worry about those things, we'll get them addressed.
Okay, you keep doing that, and we'll stir up the noise.
No.
There you go.
Just win. That's all this time of year.
That's right.
Have a great game Saturday night in Denver, and wish you the best of luck moving forward. Brad Tree Living, everybody.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Thanks, Tree.
Okay, I tried.
Yeah, hey, listen, you got to ask questions. He's got to not answer them. So that's our mutual arrangement here.
But, like, it kind of changes things a little bit. Like, Ranton is not there anymore for the Toronto Maple Leafs if Marner leaves. Mm. And, you know, that's kind of been lost a little bit all day, is that you are now in the real wheelhouse of watching potentially Mitch Marner walk out the door for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that? Let that sink into you, Sammy, a little bit.
I think
it's been sinking in all year, bud.
Well, no, yeah. But now it's real.
But they were never trading him at the deadline. We've known that this is a possibility all year.
Never getting ran in
it. Just, never know. Never.
Yeah. Right? You know, I don't want to have this conversation today, but I do think that, you know, Mitch wants to be here. I think they want to have Mitch. We'll see how postseason success goes. But if they're decent, I think everyone wants that to continue. So,
I don't even know if I want to ask this question.
What?
Does Rantanen's number affect Mitch Marner's number? Because I think a lot of people think it should.
They're both in the ballpark, guys. So, yeah, it factors in where, what state, taxes, cost of living. I mean, those things, as I said earlier in the show, matter to players and agents. And there is a sense now that certain teams like the Rangers, the Leafs, LA, they got to go a little larger here. Those state taxes in California, New York, much different than other teams. Mm-hmm. And we know what it's like in Canada. So
yeah, if you think that's the arrangement, you go, here's where we think you are compared to Rantanen. Here's where you think you are compared to Rantanen. Here's the math for our state versus their state. Here's about the, okay.
And it wasn't that long ago we thought Rantanen was going to get really close to 14, and it didn't happen. Now that's the actual number, but we're not factoring in all the other things. But
what was the thing that, not cap friendly, what's that, a Puckpedia? What was the
over the 8-year deal versus from Colorado to Dallas, the difference was $4 million.
Okay. So, yeah.
A swing based on taxes.
Four. Over That's years, a yeah. lot of money.
Over but it's not a lot of money.
But so these guys will retire at $180, $200 million, and it's like, okay, give a take $4 million. Do they really care?
Better to pick the city you want to be in than have 192 instead of 188 or whatever.
I buy that.
Yeah.
Okay. Jets talk?
Jets talk.
I feel for our Jets.
Tough day.
Because
they got better.
They got better. They got better. They're having a fantastic season. Best in franchise history.
Are you talking about not getting another centerman?
No. I'm talking about
everyone around
their
them getting
division.
Way better.
Their division.
Colorado gets Coyle and Brock Nelson, while Dallas gets Mikko Rantanen.
Yeah.
Whew.
But somebody's
one of those teams
going
is lose.
To be very disappointed.
Most of them are going to be very disappointed
in the first round.
So
somebody's going down.
You think that
Connor Hellebuck all day.
You think that the Jets will win their first round series against whoever they're going to play because they're probably going to win their division. It's very clear.
That's why you got to win the division. Let those two teams beat each other up. A couple guys get hurt.
For sure. Either one of those teams is no fun in the second round for the Jets.
It's hard to win the Stanley Cup.
Bingo.
You usually got to beat some good teams.
I'm just saying, our beloved Jets, who are having such a wonderful year, it was I like Tanev for them. Shen, we all know what Shen can bring.
Yeah.
But God, those other two teams got so much better.
I'll never forget, though, the one year the Leafs win a playoff series, Luke Shen's just standing between the benches, just being like, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know?
And then
he could provide a nice presence.
Is it Janot that he just punched out that game?
Yeah.
He just punched guys out. Maroon.
He's a beast.
Yeah. Anyways. Winners and losers, you want to do that, or do you care about that stuff?
Yeah, I do, for sure. How many games? Are there games?
Tonight?
Yeah.
I think there's multiple.
We had someone send us a picture of Brandon Carlo at the airport on his way to Colorado. It's actually him at the airport. I feel like that's
six
suspect.
Games.
Six games. That's crazy. There should be zero games.
Can you?
It should be give a no
zero games. Give the guys a night off.
Zero games. That's crazy.
As a reminder, this hour, Real Kipper and Born, brought to you by Bet365.
Gotta do game time.
We didn't do game time yet?
No.
Get it in.
Oh, my. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. That's brutal. I haven't forgotten all year. We've just had so much to talk about.
It's been a busy day.
So I think we should probably check in on the Stanley Cup favorites after all the deadline moves have now come in here. Mm-hmm. So as I'm quickly pulling this up, the Stanley Cup favorite, it is not the Winnipeg Jets.
Still Edmonton.
It is not Edmonton.
Damn, who was it you just told me the other day?
It is the Dallas Stars. The Dallas Stars have moved into the number one spot on Bet365 as the Stanley Cup favorite, +550. Florida Panthers.
Vegas.
Florida Panthers second.
Vegas, Tampa Bay, or Vegas?
Vegas is 10-1.
Tampa.
Tampa Bay Lightning is a nice number, 12-1. The Toronto Maple Leafs ahead of the Tampa Bay Lightning at 11-1. Ugh. Yeah, I can't say I love that. Jets. Our beloved Jets.
Give me 15-1.
All the way down at 13-1. The disrespect by our beloved Bet365. Come on. Colorado 8-1, and the Washington Capitals are 11-1. So,
Caps went out and got Bevilier.
Yeah.
Could win the President's Trophy. Big year. Obi's about to set the world record for the world's greatest great guy.
Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why they're ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play it responsibly.
It is. And Brad Tree Living touched on this. Just my recollection of as a player, yeah, a day like this, there is no better feeling all season long to get through the trade deadline, walk into your dressing room, look around the room and go, whew.
We made it.
No, boys. Just like, and then just knowing that
thing,
this
like,
is our team. This is what they think we're going to win with.
Yeah.
And we're all part of it. And it's like, it's an unbelievable feeling. My Ranger team in 1994, we were out west in Calgary. I don't know how many trades we did, 6 or 7.
For everyone.
It was crazy. And we were first pick. We were first place overall. And we made half a dozen trades. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to get called into the office, please. And it was like, whew, it's over.
Yeah. Whew.
Thank God.
How about him telling us 258?
Yeah.
These guys, like, that's.
You know what I was thinking that whole time is I have a Gmail feature.
We get that feeling when we're like that close to a tee off time.
Yeah. Just run into the tee box. I have a Gmail feature where my emails, I think they wait 30 seconds to send, and I can hit undo because I'll be like, damn, I didn't attach whatever. I think I would mess that up. I think I would be the guy submitting a trade late. It was the feature. That's tight, man. 258.
Yeah.
All right. The dust is settled, guys. All right. So biggest winner. Okay. And not just today, but just trades and who's put themselves in an unbelievable position.
I mean, the Florida Panthers won the Stanley Cup last year. They added Seth Jones, who plays 22 minutes a night. They added Brad Marchand. They added a depth guy in Nico Sturm. They were great. They got better. They're going to roll out Sam Bennett, Brad Marchand. Tkachuk will get healthy. They're going to be a nightmare to play.
Yeah, it's them. Well, Dallas got a pretty good player, too.
Yeah.
Fun day today.
Boys, that was a blast.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Great show.
All right, our thanks to Elliot Friedman, who joined us off the top of the hour, Hockey Night in Canada, Sportsnet, and general manager Brad Treliving.
And Doug.
Oh, and Doug. Oh, I forgot about Doug.
McClain.
Oh, he's going to be pissed.
He gave us his time.
Enjoy your weekend. We're back on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.